Do I come out that way or that way?
That way.
Thank you. Okay, case number six, 23-511. Morning.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to recuse myself because that's my boss.
Okay. The record will note.
Can you grab Chair for one?
That Ms. Johnson is recused from the case. Good morning, sir. Would you please state your name and the agency you represent?
Chief Eric Peterson, Coventry Police Department.
And who is your witness, please?
Sergeant Olaf.
Sergeant Olaf Anderson, Coventry Police Department.
And I have one other witness.
Yeah, you can grab a chair, Sergeant.
Yeah, Sergeant Russell, I'd prefer not to.
Okay, just.
Okay. All right, thank you. You may make a brief opening statement.
At the time of reviewing this application, the applicant had stated that he had been arrested, and in reviewing, he had been arrested for a domestic disturbance charge that was nollied, but the 13 months weren't up, so it was still on his record. And in reviewing the reports, there were some concerns about suitability.
Would you like to make a brief opening statement, sir?
My application was denied because I made a mistake on my application, because it was asking me if you ever been arrested. I put down as no, because the way I understood the question, I misunderstood the question. It says if you ever been charged against the family member, that's how I knew, and you can swear on your oath that you never been arrested, and that's why I'm like thinking I put down as no, and that was a mistake.
Okay, thank you. You may proceed with your case.
So, in this application, it was clear cut because the charge was still there. It may be off his record today, but there were some concerns about him putting his hands on his girlfriend's daughter. What concerned me was, when Sergeant Iger took a statement from her, the daughter had stated that it's not the first time it happened. So he had grabbed her by the hair at some point, scratched her face. So those are the suitability issues that I have, along with the fact that when he did apply, he did have an arrest on his record.
Are you going to be calling any witnesses to establish?
Yes, can speak okay. With the arresting officer and the officer that took the statement.
Okay, well, your case.
Your case, sir.
Okay, well, I'll start with Sergeant Anderson. He arrived at the scene, investigated the case, made the arrest, and just speak a little bit about the case when you got there, what you saw, what happened, and if there's any concerns about any temperament issues or whether the suspect or the person arrested was cooperative or.
You see the report.
Yeah, the.
So is the case has been dismissed? Then dismissed?
Yeah, nollied, and the 13 months is up now, but at the time of the application, it wasn't.
So the case is, though, that case report is pretty much.
Right, so you can refer to your memory.
Yeah.
So just refer to your memory.
The victim was scared. She was
when
crying.
When did it happen?
Yeah.
When did it happen?
Yeah.
A few years ago?
About a year, February.
Let him go. Here's his case.
Yeah. Happened a few years ago? A year or 2 years ago?
Okay, that's your camp.
Yeah.
You don't have to remember the exact
2022, that's when it happened.
2022. I'm sorry, go ahead. It helps us. It wasn't 20 years ago.
Yeah, 2022. Victim was scared. She had a scratch on her face saying that it wasn't the first time that it happened. Even though she wasn't as cooperative with us, she didn't want him arrested. However, Connecticut General Statute, if there's injury, the primary aggressor has to be arrested, right? I believe another person who was in the dwelling as well. She's, she was saying that it wasn't the first time that this situation like this has happened. Even though she did not witness the specific incident that happened that day, she was upstairs. But she mentioned that this is not the first time that has happened before. So because of the injury, that's why he was arrested. Saying, you know, when the victim said that he told her to move from the couch where she was sitting, which it was his favorite place to sit, and when she didn't move, he moved her. She sat on top of her. She was pregnant at the time, according to what she told me. Because of that, because of the scratch, that's what the arrest was made.
And then I'll refer to Sergeant Iger. He took a statement from the victim. He was also there on the scene.
But before he did that, then he has to testify. He gets a chance to cross-examine this witness.
Right? I didn't know the order.
Would you like to cross-examine him, ask him any questions?
No. I mean, I understand what he's saying.
Okay.
Well, just, now, I have a question. So, who is she? Is in relationship to the victim, is not her name or anything, is it his significant other, or what's the relationship between the victim and the appellant?
The victim, they live in the same dwelling. It was his girlfriend's daughter, I believe.
Okay. And about how old was she at the time?
I don't remember.
Okay. I mean,
I don't remember. No, she wasn't. She was pregnant. She should be six. don't remember her age.
Okay. Thank you. So it was his girlfriend's daughter?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions of this witness by the board?
I guess I do. The board generally likes to hear more detail. Like, you, what time of day did this happen? How were you called there? What did
this happened years ago.
January 22.
I'm not referring to my notes. I'm not going to give you these details because I don't want to.
Okay, do you know what time was it? Were you working first shift, second shift, third shift? What, dark outside?
Maybe it was Eves. Eves, I was working Eves during that time, yeah.
Was alcohol involved?
I don't remember.
No, you don't know. You didn't go to this call alone. You went with somebody else.
Correct.
I would imagine at least one. And knock on the door, the appellant answer the door. Just paint a picture for us so we understand how serious it is and how it will reflect on his suitability.
I think I'm going to be filling in some of those areas.
Okay. Describe the injury that the...
red mark, scratch on her left cheek.
Bleeding?
No.
Any treatment? EMS?
EMS was contacted, I believe.
And she did not. Did she go to the
hospital? I mean, EMS was offered. I don't remember if she accepted it or not.
Okay. Did you see the scratches on her cheek?
Correct. Yes.
Was it breaking the skin? Was there blood, or was it red?
No, lungs? No blood. No breaking of the skin.
Lungs. And you said she did not want to do anything.
Yeah, she said that she didn't want him arrested.
Didn't want him arrested. But obviously he was, like you said, and the case was ultimately nollied. 13 months went by, and it was dismissed. But that dismissal must have been relatively recent, right? He was arrested in January of 2022.
I can speak on that. He wouldn't have any information on that. I review, as you know, the area. So he was arrested in January 22. When he applied, he said he hadn't been arrested, but it's still on his record because the court nollied it. So it wasn't disposed of until September of 23. So at the time he applied, he had it on his record, and in his application he put that he hadn't been arrested.
Right, so which was, when you say disposed of, you mean it was nollied in September of 2023?
Yes.
So he was actually, it was off his record in October of 24. Is that correct?
Might have been, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was arrested in January of 2022.
Oh, okay, so a year off.
Said it was nollied on September 1st, 2023.
That's right.
Right, exactly.
And the date of the application was... The date of the application was still on his record, but the 13 months wasn't up to be disposed of.
Yeah, it looks like the erasure date was...
September 1st of 23.
Yeah, right. 23. All right, thanks.
Okay. Any questions by the board? All right, you can call your next witness, please.
Sergeant Russ Liger, he was, at the time, he was the supervisor of the case. Sergeant Anderson has been recently promoted to a sergeant. So he was there as the supervising authority, took a statement from the victim, and I'm just going to have you speak from soup to nuts. Maybe you can answer some of the questions that, you know, that they had for you. Go ahead.
I'll just start by saying I remember this case very clearly because it was extremely cold. And I think somebody in the house had COVID, so we were trying to handle as much as we could outside in the home. And it's, well, much like today, very freezing weather. And so that sticks in my memory. And it was dark out. We were working evening shift together. I think we had actually been to that same house a couple, maybe a month earlier or 2 months earlier. One of the daughters living in the house, his ex-girlfriend's daughters, she was 17, she was pregnant, she was going through some mental health issues. We got on the phone with 211 with her, all this, and then we're back approximately 8 weeks later. Nobody in the house called. It was, I think, the grandmother that called, the girl's grandmother, saying to, for us to do a check because she had heard that the pregnant granddaughter had gotten beaten up by him. And I remember when we arrived on scene, Sergeant Anderson knocked on the door. I think the appellant came to the door even. He was kind of nonchalant about it. He said nothing had happened. You know, and as we were there for a long time investigating, trying to figure out, was even the victim didn't want to present evidence to us. I think later when I was interviewing her for the statement, she said she didn't want him arrested because she didn't want him to come back and take it out on her. So, you know, the first information we got about past history was from the sister who didn't witness it that day, but she said, you know, don't protect him. You know this has happened in the past. So in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, you know, 17-year-old pregnant girl, and obviously not an ideal situation. You're living with your ex-girlfriend's kids and your ex-girlfriend. I don't know if they were together at the time or not. I know we were up there several months later when the girlfriend moved out, and presumably the kids did too. But my impression was he wasn't too cooperative with us. That's what I remember. You're up there, law enforcement, you want to get your story clear. Why aren't you being cooperative with us about what's going on? You know, so that's the concern I had.
Thank you. Would you like to ask any questions of the officer?
No, I mean, I understand what he's saying.
You'll have a chance to give us your side of the testimony. Right now, do you have any questions for him?
No.
Okay, thank you. Board, have any questions?
I just have one. Go ahead. Sorry, and maybe the chief can answer instead of you, but do you recall, was there a protective order end up being put in place?
After the arrest for the domestic incident?
I would assume that was.
Yeah, there's probably before he was released, there's a temporary order that yep. The court will issue a semi forever the length of the court appearance.
Yep.
Yes, when we released him, we would put a conditions of release on him. Yep. And I don't know the stipulations, but the court put a protective order on the case.
And so just to follow up with that, in his application, did he disclose the protective order?
Well, it wouldn't have been current. I think maybe they dropped the protective order.
But on the question on the application, it asks, within the past 5 years, have you been the subject of protective order or restraining order issued by a court, et cetera?
Yeah, he had checked no.
And so was that an accurate answer to that question also?
No.
Thank you.
Chief, do you have a question?
Just could you describe the alleged assault a little better than what you were told by the 17-year-old? Because there was some testimony, she was sitting on the chair, and he tried to get her up on the chair, things like, you know, like that. Do you have any more details about
it? That question's for me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I took her statement, and she said basically that she had been laying across the couch, and he came over and told her to get up. And that was where he liked to sit. And that he sat down on top of her, and she kind of scrambled around and started pushing him off or whatever, and then he fell off and he pulled her off by the hair. And during that interaction, she had gotten a scratch in her face, is what it sounds like.
Okay. Any other questions by the board? You have any other witnesses?
No, I just wanted to clear up the date. So his application, I received it 11/5 of 2022, and the my records show that it was disposed of 9/1 of 2023. So there was some question. I just wanted to clear that up. That at the time of his application, it was the arrest was still on his record. So he really should have disclosed it. But that's all. I have nothing further.
Thank you. Now it's your turn, sir. You can tell us what you'd like us to know.
I mean, could we be more specific? Should I defend myself, or like if this thing happened, it wasn't like that case. I mean, I understand what they're saying, but this is not what happened, because I don't want to say because every criminal will say I'm not guilty, but if I say I'm guilty, I'll be lying, because I don't want to say anything anymore.
Could you explain from your point of view what happened that evening?
Sure. Well, I came from home from work, and I grabbed a cup of coffee, and I do like to sit on the couch. And she was laying across the couch with her phone up. And I said, could you move a little bit your feet so I can sit? I said, no. So, okay, I'm thinking, I waited. And I proceeded to sit down where her feet is, legs, but I did not, full force. So, and she started kicking me. She got up, started punching me, started cursing me. And then it was happening like that for 2 minutes, and then ran in her room and slammed the door, and she had a metal sign on the door, and the metal door, I heard a hit, and she screamed, whatever it hit, I don't know. So I don't know how the scratch mark happened. I have no idea, but apparently I looked at the pictures, and there was one. So that's what happened. And then two and a half hours later, I see police show up. I opened the door and said, what's up? I mean, I told them nothing happened. And they said, I told them to come in and you can talk to her, the daughter. And they did, and they just arrested me. That's what happened.
Did you pull her by your hair?
I did not.
Did you push her off the chair?
No. I put my hand, she was laying like that on her back. I put my hand where the her shoulder was, and I was like, come on, get out of the couch. And that's why she was like, really? Yeah.
Does the issuing authority have any questions?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. You want to cross?
No, I have nothing to ask.
Okay. Now the board.
There are two issues, according to the issuing authority, with your case. One is your failure to disclose the arrest and the failure to disclose the protective order. How do you explain those?
Failure to disclose the arrest. All right, like in my words?
On the application. You checked no.
Oh, yeah, but I understand. That was a first because I misunderstood the question. And the way the question was, like, right on the bottom, when I checked, no, right on the bottom, say, the way I understood at the time, it's like if you ever been arrested against a family member, you can swear on your oath that you've never been arrested.
That's not even close to it.
So I know, but the way I understood it, I don't know why, it just, and I, like...
Okay, it doesn't mention family member at all. What about the protective order? Within the last 5 years, have you had a protective order issued against you for any...
Did I put down no too?
That's what the issue is.
I know I redone another application and I did correct myself. I did submit it to chief.
You did have a protective order issued against you?
At the time, the court did, yes.
Yes, because they would all the time.
Rockwell, yeah.
So those are two issues the board's going to look at, the nature of the incident itself and the inaccurate, incomplete application. Could be a sign that you're trying to hide something. I mean, I'm sure that's the way they look.
I hear you.
Any other questions by the board? Okay, you can make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
There's nothing much to say. What I was written in the application and whatever I said, you know, that's pretty much what happened. Like, there's not much I could add, like convince, like it just... Brief statement. That's what pretty much what happened, and that's what I said. And but I did make two mistakes, I guess. Like you said, the protective order, which is I never seen that before. Was there there?
Question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I know about the arrest. I definitely know about that. And the way I understood, I was misunderstood. But protective order, wow. I'm just going to say no comments at this time.
Okay. Closing statement.
No, just I listened to the question that Chief Rogenzweig asked the previous person, the previous issuing authority. Are you comfortable issuing a protective order or a firearms permit, you know, knowing what you know now? I would say no, because this is all I know about this gentleman. And I look at the temperament, the situation that happened there. I look at it as something happened there. It got physical. And just, you know, when I... listen to what Sergeant Iger said, where his girlfriend's daughter said that this isn't the first time he put the hands on us, meaning her and her sister, and that, you know, she didn't want the police to arrest him because she was afraid of the recourse. So I have to base that based on that. I'm not comfortable issuing a permit, you know, given those that situation. I know nothing other than the gentleman, and based on what I have here. You know, regardless if he did make an honest mistake and didn't understand, you know, the questions that he put on the application, it just, I look back to the temperament and situation that got out of control that night. So that's all I have to offer.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
I'll just say, yeah, this was 2 years ago, so It wasn't very long ago. Crime of violence. Then, as we always say, the issuing authority deserves a complete and accurate application. Two instances of inaccuracies, at least on the application, and that's a problem. One question I didn't ask: was this an AR? Do you know, or what program you got? What'd you get in court?
Not sure.
What happened in court? Did you have to do counseling or any type of program?
Yeah, some family counseling. Yeah, and then they gave me like video, and I have to do the counseling on a video, like 10 of them, like.
And did you accept a program called Accelerated Rehabilitation? Do you know? You don't know? Okay, thank you.
Just one other comment. The question regarding have you ever been arrested, it's not, especially under the notice, it's not written in the best of ways. It says one of the reasons you can check no. Is it says a criminal charge that has been dismissed or nollied, and an applicant that doesn't know that, you know, stays on your record for 13 months, there's no notice that it's dismissed or nollied. If an applicant knows his case has been nollied, could reasonably check no and believe that. But the question regarding the protective order is very straightforward. There shouldn't be any, that was changed in 21, by DESP, based on confusion in the past regarding that question. So that has been cleared up and is very straightforward. So there shouldn't be any confusion.
And I agree that the knowledge question is, for someone who doesn't live in this world all the time, it's very confusing, but that's not what he testified to. He testified that he didn't have to report domestic violence. I don't know where that came from.
There's some weird wording in there if you read it, actually.
Does it say that?
Not family bad, not with special needs.
Yeah, it says family with special needs.
Yeah, okay, it doesn't say
it's
that.
Yeah,
that one's not confusing.
I'm a little bit out of order here, but I meant to ask you, so there's been no other incidents that you know of involving the appellant and the family members?
Not that I know of. Sergeant Iger, do you have any?
The only thing I remember reviewing a case where an officer responded because the girlfriend was moving out half a year later.
Was that before or after this?
After. So this is probably late summer of that same year. She's moving out, and she called us because she felt he was getting angry and didn't want things to get out of control. And when the officer responded, he refused to identify himself. Okay. So I remember just saying, why? What's the point of that? You know, it's not like we don't know who he is, but that officer didn't. so it was kind of weird. I thought it was off.
Since I should have asked that question before, if you'd like, you can ask them about that.
Yes, yeah. The government came in, started stealing stuff from my house. So I took my phone, started videoing her how she steals. So she called the cops, you know. And the cops came in, and whatever she was saying to the cops, right there. That's what happened.
Yeah. And there were no charges filed based on?
No, what I was referring to was he refused to identify himself to the officer on scene.
Right, I don't have to, yes. You're right.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
It's hot.
Any other questions by the board? Okay, we've gotten into comments, and I guess it's time to vote. So, we'll start on the other end here. Chief Johnson is recused from the case, so Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issue authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issue authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
And I vote issuing authority. So it's unanimous issuing authority. So.
And just a note, we do appreciate, the board appreciates when the chief himself comes and just doesn't send the poor sergeant out. So thank you.
So you've lost your appeal, sir.